All right. Well, in the interest of time, we'll just get going. We can certainly bring people in. So this is my first meeting as committee chair, and Lisa is out, which is awesome. Sounds like she's got a great trip. So it may be a little bit of, you know, whatever it is.
Gives you free reign, Tyler.
Yes. First thing I'm going to do is kick Tim out of the group. I think we've all seen this coming, Tim. It's been fun.
Okay.
No. There's no way we're letting you off that easy. Are you kidding me? All right. So why don't we look at the agenda? Unless someone else, I'll just go ahead and run the meeting unless someone else wants to. I don't know. Yeah. What did you think, John?
If you need me to, I'm happy to call the roll or anything like that. So
yeah, maybe. That'd be great. Why don't you do it and then pop in.
Yeah. So it's just a call to order at 7:32 on Friday, September 10th, 2021. This is the meeting of the Economic Development Commission, which is also happening in person and telephonically under the governor's Open Meeting Act adjustments for COVID-19. Calling the roll, Chair Brown.
Present.
Commissioner Lowe's.
Present.
Oh, sorry. I didn't hear that. I'm sorry. Commissioner Graham.
Present.
Commissioner Brangle.
Present.
Commissioner Chiplunker. Commissioner Walfeld.
Present.
Commissioner Preston.
Present.
And Member Liz Holt. Okay. We do have a quorum.
Great. You know, one of the things that I think, since we do have some new faces, that maybe we do just kind of a quick introduction, you know, just so we maybe just, you know, real briefly what your background is or something of that degree. Nothing too much. So my name is Kyler Brown. I grew up in the area, and I'm in commercial lending at Huntington Bank.
Hey, I could jump in. This is Wally Walfeld. I'm in the airport, so I apologize for the noise and wearing a mask, so hopefully you can understand me. I live in River Forest and grew up in Chicago area. I work with JLL. I run the commercial retail group. So I work with generally retailers, you know, all across the country and in the Chicago area.
You got to work with Carlin over there? Or do you get to see?
I do.
he's a great guy. One of my buds.
Yep.
Hi, good morning. This is Carl Preston, living in Forest as well for the last 20 or so years, and I work in private equity with operating businesses.
Hi, I'm Katie Lowe's. I work in public relations, and I've lived in the community for about 3 years.
Good morning. This is Tim Brangle. Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
Go ahead.
Tim Brangle. I work at the Chicago Consultant Studio. I'm an architect, urban planner, and development consultant working in downtown, making my way right to my office as we speak. So.
Look forward to working with all of you.
Bob Graham. I'm a lifer in River Forest, or almost a lifer. My company made power plants, so I'm a dinosaur here. I'm from the manufacturing side. And I was a trustee for 2+ terms in River Forest.
And then good morning, Liz. If you could just introduce yourself real quick.
Sure. My name is Liz Holt. I'm the executive director at the Oak Park and River Forest Chamber of Commerce.
All who we haven't met, I'm filling in for Lisa today. I'm John Pape. I'm the assistant to the village administrator. Joined here with me in the room is also village attorney Greg Smith.
Morning, everyone. Greg Smith here. Nice to be with you.
Thanks, guys. All right, John, you were doing great. You had all that language in there about the governor and everything. So I think you're more prepared than I to run this.
Well, just to kind of look back at the agenda there for public comment, There was none received in writing before the meeting, and there's nobody here in at Village Hall. Is there anybody on the line that cares to offer any public comment? Hearing none, then we can move to the approval of meeting minutes for the July 9th meeting. Does anybody have any comments on the July 9th meeting minutes? Hearing none, is there a motion to approve the meeting minutes of the July 9th meeting?
So moved.
Seconded. Second.
Simple seconded it. Calling the roll, Chair Brown.
Approved. What are you looking for? Sorry. Yeah.
Yeah. Yes, approved. Yeah. That works. Yep, exactly. Commissioner Lowe's. Commissioner Graham.
Yes.
Commissioner Brangle.
Yes.
Commissioner Walfeld.
Yes.
Commissioner Preston.
Yes.
The minutes are approved. Thank you. Now, this is the part where I'll turn it back over to you, Chair Brown, for right. Item four, which lists out a couple of the development updates for those things. I don't have, business item developments for you guys, but I'll kind of open it back up to you here.
Yep. Thanks. So one of the things I wanted to make sure that we did on, whenever we meet on a monthly basis is to just go over some of the things that we know are topics in the area. We might not have a lot to opine on them at all, or maybe we have a lot to say, but just so we're aware of it, if there's anything that we should be suggesting to the trustee in the village, that we talk about it here. So we'll see how this goes. And again, I'll be working a little bit with Lisa and John and their, the village here to kind of understand where we are here. So on Lake and Park, is there, what can we say about the update there?
Lisa, I'm not sure if you're on the line or not. Chair Brown, I don't have updates on the development items. I'm certainly happy to help run the meeting here, but I don't have.
No worries. Greg, I know we talked I don't want to put you on the spot here. We can, with Lisa not here, we can certainly shelve some of this. It's not the biggest deal, but if there's anything we can say, just a general understanding of where we are, that'd be awesome.
John or Kyler, can you hear me?
Yep.
We sure can.
Okay, what I'm getting, and I apologize, I'm in an area with not good cell coverage, but what I'm getting on my end is a little bit garbled, and so hopefully I come through clear enough. Okay, good.
So
on Lake and Park, the developer who was selected previously, IBT Walsh, is interested in continuing to move forward with their project there. They have an interested tenant and would be looking at a mixed use building, but they are in the process of attempting to acquire the property necessary to make that development happen.
Chair Brown, I think you muted yourself there.
Yeah, I sure did. So, can we say what the thoughts are about what they're looking to develop and things of that nature? Should we?
Yeah. Sorry. So they're looking at a mixed use building with commercial on the first floor and potential for a medical tenant in the remaining space. This is something, and we can go back and if it's helpful to the EDC to provide some historical information, we can go back and reshare the RFP that had been sent out and the response and information that had been submitted from IBT in response to that RFP a couple of years ago. So I can send that information out when we get back to the office next week.
Okay. And, maybe some of this, if we get into some territory about buying and selling, let's take it into a closed meeting, or maybe this should all be part of the closed meeting discussion. Now that I'm thinking about it.
Yeah, so this is Greg. Under the Open Meetings Act, this group can only go into closed session to discuss the sale of real estate when an offer has been made or there are terms that are under consideration. You just can't go in to talk about development generally. So I would say that, you know, Lisa is also very familiar with these requirements, as is John, and Lisa can help, you know, guide. When she's giving you updates, she's telling you things that are appropriate for open session. If closed session is needed at some point, staff will be able to flag those issues for you in due course.
Well, Greg, I'm glad you're here. okay, great. All right. Does anyone have any questions on Lakin Park or at this point?
You know, Kyler, given the amount of new volunteers on the commission, it probably makes sense to do a whole debriefing on a lot of these projects.
I agree. That's what I was kind of looking for to a degree here. So.
I mean, there's been material. I remember the presentation from before. I don't know. It doesn't sound like it changed much from IBT, but it's probably worth sharing all that. And,
you know, what about if we did this for the interest of time to a degree? What if we sent out maybe a synopsis on these to the board and then, or to the committee, and then circle back around for more with more details at a later date? I'm just throwing that out there. I
support that. That's a good idea.
Yeah. That way we can look through it and, you know, we'll all have an idea and, you know, at any rate.
Right.
But because I agree, that's the reason I kind of wanted to bring these up so that we're all up to right. speed and get right. some new eyes on it for sure. So why don't we just move through then at this point, Lake and Lathrop? Did we lose, I think it looks like we lost Lisa. Why don't we come back to that? Because I know that's one that we should. Did we lose Lisa? We did.
I thought there was supposed to be some construction of the ground structure starting in August. I thought, my memory serves me right, they was going to start not going vertical, but doing the groundwork.
Foundation and such.
It was supposed to happen. And now I saw in the paper that it says 50% sold. That should be 11 units if my math is correct.
Was that their financing number? Or let's get that.
I don't know anything about that.
I'm just curious.
Yeah, so this is Greg. I can provide a couple updates on this, but Lisa is the one with the most information about the project. The developer has cleared all the conditions necessary to receive their village-issued building permit, and all they need to do is come in and pay the building permit fee, pull the permit, and then they can start construction. So at this point, the village is waiting for them to do that. And that's really the next step. They received their permit from the MWRD regarding the stormwater impacts on the site. They worked through all those issues with engineering. They worked through all the building code issues on the village permit side. And it's been communicated to the developer to come in and get your building permit. And so they've been invited to do so, and we're waiting for them to do that at this
point. Greg, how long have they...
It's a precondition to the start of construction that member Graham just mentioned.
How long have they had that building permit and the clear to kind of continue the construction?
Don't recall.
How long before it goes stale?
Well, the permit only goes stale once it's been pulled, so I'm not sure of those timelines.
All right, well, this is one that, you know, we'll circle back around. It's good to know the village is, right, well, whatever. I don't want to opine on it too much. Madison Street TIF District. I can speak a little to what's happening there, but Greg, do you have any insight there?
On Madison Street TIF District, I believe that Lisa circulated some information regarding the proposal from a developer for residential focused property with perhaps a little bit of retail on the first floor that the village received. And in response to an expression of interest request.
Right. And there's essentially there's two options on the table there. One is kind of a piecemeal development where they would use the existing structure, which is in pretty bad shape at the time, and sort of, you know, bit by bit kind of take over that block. The other one is for a large residential, pretty high density, which probably is a tough subject we need to get into a little bit down the road, but I think at first, based on the village plan, the idea was that, you know, a high density residential would probably not be the best fit there. So that's one where, you know, it's a nice, there's a development across the street that just went up. And there's a lot of stuff kind of happening in that area to a degree. It's a nice property. We've had trouble. For those who might not know, it's where Pete's Auto is, over to the Lutheran Family Services building. Pete's Auto is currently not part of the deal. And it's just a matter of getting that block to block space and trying to bring that to a developer to get something, preferably, not too high, mixed use, similar to what we're looking at Lake and Park.
And the village owns, most of you know, but the Lutheran Family Services building and then two of the houses to the north.
That's right. The Pete's is the only one that really of that. Well, I think we have an option on the office building. In the office buildings, right. But I think the idea is that they could acquire those.
Right. So the intent, yeah, I mean, we've kind of pursued this to see if we could put together something, we the village, that is. There's been some discussion back and forth, and the decision was made once we received sort of an unsolicited offer to kind of piecemeal the old building, that we should put out an expression of interest to say, hey, the village is interested in facilitating development here. We own part of it. We don't own all of it, but let's just see what's out there. That was issued, I don't know, a while ago, a few months back. And I think that, as Kyler alluded to, and what you saw in the packet was one of the responses. That's not it wasn't a request for proposals. It was really just to see what's out there. We only got one offer or one expression of interest. I think we should strategize a little bit on next steps with that, but I don't know if this is the time to do it.
Tim, what are your thoughts?
I don't know how, I'd be interested now. We've got some new members here too, with particularly Wally and others, but you know, I think part of this too is also, I think the village has to be proactive in this. And I think the expression of interest was intended to at least drum up some interest. I don't know how far or deep we went in terms of actively pursuing development, at least pitching it, you know, getting it out there in the community. I know there was, you know, it went through the normal process, I think, of publication, all that. So I'm curious, you know, we only got one. I'm wondering if there's an opportunity, whether it means we go into an RFP, you know, again, with two people interested, but I would do that only if we can get more interest, to be honest. And I think that takes a little more proactive strategic thinking on who we solicit and how we package it and how we pitch it. The expression of interest tried to do some of that, was at least to put out there a pitch that this is a unique opportunity, the village is ready and willing to facilitate. And in fact, that's, you know, partly why the TIF was put in place and why the village is actively pursuing some of these key properties. But I think next steps, it'd be interesting to get some input from everybody on whether we go to an RFP with only, you know, presumably two people interested. I think there's got to be a little bit more of a proactive outreach to see if we can drum up more interest.
Only one proposal, though. But did we actually receive two? Because I thought I saw in the email that there was only one offer or some development proposal.
There was one expression of interest in addition to the unsolicited proposal the village received. What was that? A year ago.
I think you'll get more interest if properties to the east become part of the package, which. Just leave it at that.
yes, control.
You're just short of completing the block, you're going to have less interest than from a developer or multiple developers to see an entire block, and looks more attractive that way for open space and just a better proposal in general.
Yeah, I agree. I don't think you're ever going to get the whole block though to Pete's. I think we got to be realistic about that.
Well, as you know, the village tried. Yep. We tried to push that and we're unsuccessful in negotiating. I don't know, again, whether it may make sense to revisit that, but I think we kind of felt like we exhausted that. Or at least we should pause that and maybe put it out to the market that here's what we're trying to do and allow the market to respond to see if they could shake free, you know, that piece, which I agree, obviously. Yeah, I mean, having that whole block, control is king. I mean, that makes a great development site when all the parcels are together. I think, you know, so.
Have we reached out to, do we know if we've reached out to the individuals of the office buildings to see if we can get some sort of contingent contract that we could pass along to the developer so we at least had that under control?
The office building, you mean the one next to Pete's?
Yeah, are there two
yeah,
office buildings right there? Yeah.
Yeah, again, I know Lee had worked on that. There were discussions. I don't think they advanced. Again, I don't know that we had control. Obviously, yeah, we get some kind of option or assignable option, that would be ideal. Some way to have control and represent that in an RFP.
Well, maybe that should be our next steps. If we agree that maybe we should re-enter that conversation, and then I guess I'd look to others to ask. I mean, when you're saying about bringing it out a little bit more, what would be your first thoughts? And again, maybe we can ask others as well, but how would you see that happening?
Again, I'm not as familiar. I don't know how much of this was marketed, to be honest. That's kind of at it. You can put an RFP or an expression of interest out, but if you're not promoting it, and it you know, follow up with developers. You know, I know we have a laundry list of folks who have shown interest in the village and village parcels. Again, I don't know how much of that was done. I think that is key to to building a momentum and some interest. So I don't know that, again, that may be indicative of why we got one proposal or one expression of interest. But I would like to, actually, I'd like to know a little history on that. Maybe Lisa, when she's back, and we can talk about that and see how much was done and whether this, you know, if interest isn't there, then I think we have to double back. And I think control is it. I think Bob said, you know, that, you know, maybe it does make sense to go back. It's a year later. We tried this a year ago, at least, right? Probably go back and see if minds have shifted. If post-pandemic, who knows? I mean, maybe things are a little different, at least to broach it again, to see if we can get some kind of control. Because, yeah, an RFP with the FR. Sorry, go on.
What we indicated to developers based on
we're losing you. Sorry.
Oh, sorry. My question was, what would be
approved? Still nothing. Sorry. All I heard was sorry, actually. And then it went back to. We can circle back.
Can you hear me at all better?
Oh, yeah. Perfect.
There we go. Sorry. I guess my question was, did we give an indication to these developers of what the village would approve, what our comprehensive plan contemplated?
It's the comprehensive plan was in there. I know, yeah, some of the schemes, the village ran some proposals on it and numbers initially.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how much of that was shared. I'd have to go back and look. The expression of interest was in there. I don't remember. I know it referenced the comp plan. There were strategies on that John Housiel put together on assemblage of property and how to deal with parking behind it and all that. So I know all that was shared. I don't know the village advanced detailed schemes to kind of, you know, to push that, but I think the village was pretty open to a lot of different potential, a lot of different development options. So I don't think they put definitive proposals out there. I think they encouraged, we talked about mixed use, we talked about residential.
residential active, you know, the ground floor activation, stuff like that. But in terms of giving them a detailed plan, I don't think they did that.
You know, in a case like this, and excuse me if I'm ignorant to this, why aren't we hiring like a third party brokerage to kind of come up with ideas here and market it? I mean, and they would get that, they'd be, we wouldn't have to pay them. I mean, they'd get, maybe there's some sort of payment that would be made, but they'd get the commission on the end. Is there a reason we don't do that on some of these?
Actually, you have Housiel, I think, under retainer who does. Oh. John did the comp plan. And I think he's opined on this and done some of the preliminary studies to look at the development potential. And yeah. I think you have Jennifer Tammen from was Ehlers and now is Ernst & Young, who did a lot of the numbers, I think, to sort of justify or look at TIF projections and increment and all that. I mean, so we have some of that. And again, I think
why not go to the broker to do the marketing?
Yeah, that's the piece.
Doing all that, we should give it to the person who's going to sell it. They'll figure it out. That's their job to come up with ideas and bring it to market and see what's out there.
That's correct. I agree with that. But the village would ultimately need to pay a commission on the portion that we own. That's the only fee that would be due.
I mean, if we're serious, so all right, next steps would be to discuss possible to revisit the, I mean, Tim, I agreed with everything you said, to revisit the opportunities for the office buildings and for Pete's, and then to, you know, make a list of some brokers or next steps if we want to take it to a third party to market and sell. Is anything else there? For now, and again, we'll try
to make a suggestion, but only an executive session of another option. I think okay. Time is running out.
Okay. North Avenue. I think we do have Lisa back, but I don't know if she's. Do we have an update there? All right. Why don't we shelve that one for now? I don't think there's much happening there, but. Sort of when Lisa's back, she can fill us up to get us up to date. The Dominican, you know, we put this one on there. If anyone has thoughts on this, you know, it doesn't look like it's really something that is in our wheelhouse. There's not going to be any development there. Based on the village plan, it's not something that they'd look to change to retail or something of that nature. It's currently zoned Parks and Rec or something of that degree. But I did feel like, you know, people were talking about it. There's talk of the village buying it, things of this nature, so that we should at least talk about it and say, well, it's probably not in our jurisdiction. But does anyone have anything, comments on that or questions?
Just a little question that our village president is on the board, or at least was on the board or still is on the board of Fenwick. I hope we don't have a conflict in any form, because Fenwick was one of the people expressing, organization expressing interest in the property, along with Oak Park River Forest High School. So what
that's hope good, we have good
a point. Clarification hope, of that situation.
Yeah, hopefully everyone.
This is Greg. I can't, obviously there's attorney-client privilege, so I can't reveal anything that's been discussed in confidence, but this matter has been publicly disclosed. It's in the newspapers and the village is aware of it. And all, as in every case, all ethics requirements will be met as this matter moves forward.
Okay.
I would only offer that we should, I actually think it is part of economic development. It's out there now. And I think the comprehensive plan continues to keep it as public space or rec. I'm not sure it looked at the redevelopment potentials. Not that I'm promoting that, but the market may respond. Their zoning isn't in place. The zoning keeps it. So we have that kind of control that we can keep it that way. But in terms of economic development, it's a challenge site. Both, it's got history, it's got, you know, historic structures, although I don't know if they're on the registry. It's got one way in, one way out, you know, it's up against Harlem. It's got a lot of context there and existing leases. I don't know, you know, but if something moves forward, I kind of think we ought to have some kind of at least a better understanding of what the economic potential would be. I don't know. That's my own opinion. I've talked about this with others, but and there's varying degrees of opinions out there. But
you know what? That's a really good point.
It represents a key, I mean, one of the very few parcels in the village. I'm not saying I'm not sure redevelopment is the right thing, but maybe reuse of something. If it went back onto the tax rolls, is that a bad thing? I don't know. I mean, you know, as an EDC, we're charged, one of our missions is to lessen the burden on the residential property tax and help grow the tax base in other ways. Again, I think to just say we're gonna rely on the comp plan, which I think looked at it just in its existing state, not have an attitude or a strategy or at least an understanding of what the potential is, it's kind of a mistake. But that's my opinion.
I think it's a good one. You've changed my opinion on the matter, actually.
Well, it's also dangerous territory because I know that, you know, there's a lot wrapped up into that. And redevelopment of that could cause a lot of problems too, you know. So,
well, we should at least have an idea, even if it's not one we choose to go down. You're right. We should opine on all these things because they are within the village. So, I would ask then, maybe we contact John on this. I mean, he might be the first start.
John. Oh, how's you?
Yeah. I'm just wondering, I'm thinking, what does it look like for us to discuss possible redevelopment there?
Yeah, I think I'd also like the board to opine. Obviously, they've got a position. And I think it's, if they want us to do that, I think they should charge, I think we should have the board opine on priorities and things like that as well. But I do think, again, my opinion is that it could represent some, this is a substantial economic development initiative, but I think let's ask Kathy and others how they want to proceed.
Okay, I think that's a good idea. So we'll shelve that for now with the idea that we'll be asking the board to see if they want us to investigate that for the minutes, with the idea that we think we should be discussing it. So we're recommending to the board to recommend to us to discuss it.
Right.
Yeah.
I agree.
But, so in the next one, five, it seems to be somewhat of a review to a degree. Maybe I'm missing, John, what was the discussion and direction regarding next steps and EDC action on Madison Street and North Avenue? Is it just more of a general discussion on that whole street?
Yeah, I think this note is really separating out that not just the development update, but next steps and action items for those two, which I think we kind of took together with 4C and 4D already. We've kind of already not just done the update, but also some of the next steps. So probably covered that for Madison, and without an update on North Avenue, I'm not sure that we're really able to develop any.
Yeah, maybe we show the North Avenue as well till we at least gets back, and you know, again, we'll work on some sort of synopsis on all these to kind of catch everyone up to date.
I think I'd put it in that category. I think, you know, again, the EDC with the board, and you know, one of our key initiatives or two initiatives of getting those TIFs in place, the TIFs are there, and now it's a matter of, all right, how do we take, I think, prioritize, and obviously we did talk about some of those in section four, but how do we prioritize this? How do we push development or redevelopment or, you know, whatever it may be, because that was the intent, or again, public improvement, things like that, parking improvements. So part of it in my mind would be to go back and look at those TIFs and kind of understand what our objectives were and see how we as an EDC can opine on priorities and whether there's some other things. I know we're focused on Lake, actually Madison Street in, you know, the Lutheran General or the Lutheran Family Services, but maybe there are others. So I think it's probably worth collectively, now we have a lot of new faces, which is great, a lot of new energy, a lot of new ideas, probably to kind of revisit some of that and say, all right, what can we do as an EDC to help push use of, leverage the TIF, leverage these things that are in place now to help promote economic development. That would
Tim, be when you get going. I totally agree. That's great.
I won't normally be so quiet. I think those documents and just an overview would be really helpful so that I'm not speaking out of turn and that I understand everything. And absolutely, I volunteer if there are things that just need to be organized and put together into a nice packet and we're lacking arms and legs, I'm happy to be arms and legs. Similarly, for any of the like contacting brokerages or whatever it is we need to do, that's one of the reasons why I'm here, is I just want to be extra hands for the village to be able to move things forward that maybe we haven't been able to move in the past. So really excited for all this. And if there's anything, I guess, John, specifically for you and for Lisa, if there's anything I can help with to organize for us, please consider me your person.
I like that. All right.
Yeah.
You signed up. No, I think part of this, and I deal a lot with this professionally. I think a lot of this is pitch and message and all that. And I think the village, we have limited opportunities. We ought to be promoting those in a very comprehensive way. I mean, in a strategic way, and again, buzzwords, but I think, you know, getting that message out, the TIF was intended to help facilitate development. And yet, you know, we started to put these tools together. It's a matter of packaging it, getting that out there, whether, you know, even the expression of interest, things like that, next steps on those parcels, even website, all that. I mean, I think there's some of that. There's a developer toolkit. I mean, there's things like that. I think it'd be great to have your eyes on it and expertise, just to say, all right, here's how we can refine that and how we get the message out, a better message out on the development opportunities. So.
Absolutely. And I would love to do that.
Great.
Yeah, I can, again, Tim, completely agree. I mean, some of these, we are going to move, some of this stuff just moves slow, but some of it we can move along a little bit and being a little bit more proactive. I mean, hey, look, they're buzzwords for a reason. You know what I mean? Like, I agreed with everything.
Yeah.
Good. All right. Well, this is good. We got some good energy here. Looking to get some things done. I like it. Let's keep it going. The next, topic is continued discussion, business retention, attraction strategies. Well, Tim already took care of that one for the most part, right? Business retention, I think, is one thing, but this is, I don't know that there was a specific reason for putting this up, John, but I think it's kind of what Tim was just hitting on.
Yeah, I'm not aware of any other, you know, reason for it on the agenda. I'm not sure if it's a standing item on your agendas or if anybody has any other comments on them.
Okay. This is actually the other piece of it, is not just the economic side and development and developers and investment, but it's also business. I think kind of a little difference here is that this was, remember Lee had started, I think, a business, what was it?
Task force of sorts, or
it was sort of an outreach, and you know, the goal, obviously key to economic development is having businesses that want to locate here and promote that, you know, whether it's retail or commercial or office and the like. So Lee had done a significant piece on this, I thought. And to be honest, I'd have to go back and look. But yeah, this is sort of another facet of economic development, I would say, is not only promoting that, but also how to retain business, how to attract tenants, how to attract that kind of thing. So it's...
And it's been difficult, you know. Yeah. Ton of density. It's a unique, you know, little spot. You kind of have, and I, you know, one of the goals I'd love to have from, it used to be this way, and I don't know, maybe I'm not there, but from like Lathrop to Park, there was a pretty decent little, I mean, there's still, you know, commercial all along there, but there's, you know, River Forest markets and some other places that you could walk along there. It would be great if we could sort of reopen that with the develop, you know, those two developments anchoring that. So I think that's one of the things that I'd be interested, you know, to hear some of the other committee members as well as we move forward, you know, how best to market those areas, and what we're doing over, you know, with, I mean, it's not like we don't own it, but another issue here is, in my mind, And again, what we're able to do, we don't have a ton of power in this capacity, but you know, with Starbucks closing right there, everything that happens at the blue line stop or whatever, the green line stop right there.
Right. Hey, excuse me.
Go ahead.
It's Wally, and I hate to do this to interrupt, but I'm going to get told to turn my phone off because I'm about to take off. I have some good insight and some ideas on this. Talk to Kathy a little bit about it, including about both the Starbucks vacating, the Whole Foods potential for expansion, some other things, you know, about the Madison Street retail corridor. I definitely think that I can bring even resources to kind of present to this board and give us some thoughts and ideas to consider. Unfortunately, it's going to have to be the next meeting, and I apologize that I didn't have time to stay on longer. So I just wanted to share that, and that I will definitely review all the materials they get presented as a new member and be better prepared next meeting.
Well, that's great. That's great to have you and everyone.
All right.
Sorry, can I?
All right, thanks. I'll have to jump. No problem.
Sorry, can I jump in here? This is Liz from the chamber.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that this item was on the agenda because, you know, the chamber and the village staff spent quite a lot of time engaging your local business community in those, Zoom seminars where we were just inviting business sectors to come on in and facilitated discussion with somebody from the Dominican University Brennan School of Business. So, that was instigated by this group, those meetings, to give some guidance to how the federal funding, recovery funding was to be spent on local businesses. And I think last I heard, and I, again, John and Lisa, I haven't had confirmation of this, that a certain portion of that money must be spent on existing businesses and helping them recover. And I do know, my opinion for what it's worth is that, you know, economic development is both how do you attract new businesses, whether that's development or businesses into existing developments. But once you've got them, you've got to help them to be able to be viable in your community. And I think that was my impression as to why that was on that on the agenda. I would love for discussions about business retention to take a larger role in our conversations as part of this group. And the people that I've been in touch with, you know, times are hard right now. The potential of another close down, shut down, there's a lot of people who are the community who are still nervous about coming out to shop. And I think, or eat, or, you know, engage. So I think that it's not over. And I think only turning to new development would be a detriment to your business community.
Agree.
Wholeheartedly.
Thank you for that. No, Liz, now it's coming back to me. There was a lot of work done on this. So again, I think put it on the list. We need to, with the fresh faces and everybody, we need to go through that and get back up to speed on what was done. And
So just as a reminder for the new people on this call, that the village, the chamber and the village staff hosted, John, I think it was 7 1-hour community outreach sessions for the businesses in River Forest. We divided them up by business sector, because, you know, what an acupuncturist needs is a little bit different than what a restaurant needs or a lawyer. So, Tim, you're correct. I mean, we spent probably over 7 hours. The chamber spent a lot of more time marketing, advertising, designing, marketing, creative, getting that word out to really show the businesses in River Forest that the village is here, ready to listen. A lot of good ideas came out of those meetings about what people would love to see coming out of the village to just help them continue to be viable businesses. I think it's a great further discussion to have.
That's fantastic. And I think some of that, to my knowledge, some of that we knew the information was being gathered, but I'm not sure if it was sort of assimilated and provided, you know, to the different committee members. Is that something that we have some sort of synopsis of, you know, highlights of what people were, or, you know, everything that people were looking for that we can read over? or at least maybe in discussion form, can we maybe, is there a way that we could, for the next, you know, for next week, we can have an agenda item where we go over kind of some of the main themes of what we found from all that information gathering?
I'll make a note for Lisa on that to circle back on providing a synopsis of it.
That'd be excellent, because I agreed with everything you said there. So thank you for reiterating it. Because we have some struggles here. I mean, we got to know what is working, what people need for sure.
Right. And I guess I would just not at all to be a Debbie Downer, because there are some businesses in River Forest that are doing exceptionally well. There are some businesses that are not, just from the ones that I know. And, you know, I don't think that anybody should be surprised if we do see some further business closures. I know certainly in my experience in Oak Park, we're seeing some business closures, and it actually is because it's not because they're not busy. They are too busy, and they just are tired of doing business in this world now. You know, restaurants who are just like, they can't get the staff. Food costs are way too high. I mean, they're just like, I'm out. I don't want to do it. So yeah. to be able to be there supporting a business on either end of the spectrum, I think is super important.
Yeah, we need to be realistic and honest when we're dealing with these things.
Absolutely, absolutely. And that's a tough one to do sometimes. Yeah, thanks for that, Kyler.
Yeah, no, it's for sure. Thank you for everything you mentioned. And that's great. You're absolutely right. That should be... certainly one of our main goals is this committee. Other business, anything else? I have something, but.
Since we're following up on kind of all of these discussions, and again, with some new energy, is it possible, and maybe this is a question for Greg, to do some kind of, hate to commit everybody's time, EDC workshop or retreat where we could collectively come around, put everything on a table, talk about, go down the project list, do a deep immersion in all the projects, because there's a lot of history on these, a lot of moving parts, a lot of great questions are coming out of this already. A lot of them have been answered over the last 5, 6, 7 years. We just need, I think it'd be great to sit around and brainstorm now with this collective brain trust, if you will. Is that possible to do? Or does it trigger open meetings, or does it, you know, how could we as a rejuvenated EDC do that?
Yeah, this is Greg. Great question. So it's possible for the EDC to meet outside of its regularly scheduled meeting, or to give yourself more time at a regular meeting to do a deep dive. You'd have to comply with the Open Meetings Act. It would be a meeting. For instance, the Village Board does workshops for strategic planning, capital planning, budgeting, where they meet outside the normal pace. So I think, you know, if Chair Brown worked with staff to talk about that and when a good time might be, given staff constraints and resources, but to put together that kind of update and just, like you said, lay it on the table and have a more fulsome discussion, I think that's a good idea.
Yeah, I do too. I think it's a great idea. I think we should, I don't mean to kick things down the road a little bit, but I want some of the new people to have maybe a better understanding. So maybe we have it set up a time at the next meeting. At that point, we'll have all have read through a synopsis and had a little bit more discussion on these items. So
yeah,
but I think that's great. And yeah, fully, you know, come to the meeting with, you know, no bad options. Let's just everything. Right. Try to rethink, like you said, maybe we've just been thinking of these things the wrong way. So some new eyes.
Well, you know, I'm not saying we're in a rut.
No.
but sometimes, you know, again, well, we could talk about that. But I think there's a lot of good pieces of expertise here that could help lend, you know. Anyway, I think it'd be a great discussion to talk about all these things. So maybe, I'm volunteering everybody's time.
Maybe we even get, you know, John to join us as well.
Yeah.
So him, you know, so I have we'll have more background on a lot of these things than.
Of course, I think you're paying him. So the village pays.
I'll throw him a couple of beers.
There you go.
I'm volunteering his time too. Right. He's not busy enough.
Right.
Other businesses. One thing I'd like to do. As chairman, I'd like to throw it up there. Maybe I could throw out a Google Doc. But with COVID and everything, I don't see any reason to have these meetings at 7:30 on Friday mornings. Certainly not after softball on Thursday nights.
I missed it.
We're missing you. We beat O'Sullivan's, in case you're wondering.
That's I'm O'Sullivan. Darn it.
Yeah. You could eat, yeah. I know I talked with Lisa on this. Now, do people prefer me picking a time? I mean, we looked at, like, I think Mondays at 5 as a viable time. There wasn't a lot of other meetings going on. People could still be at work, call in, or they could, or maybe we could do 5:30 5:30 so people could try to get there. And we can move this as well if it doesn't work. Can I get some sort of vote on, and again, feel free to say no and throw out other times, please. I'm just throwing this out there for the sake of getting it done.
Just one thing I would note on that. Some Mondays that would be just before village board meetings or, committee of the whole meetings, which start at 6 or 7 on second and third Mondays, fourth Mondays.
Okay. That's right. Can't mention that. What if we did the other Monday?
Right, like a first Monday could work, you know, in that realm there. And then two, I would just mention that at some point, you know, the governor's order might expire and require people to come back in person, you know, and not participate telephonically for just any reason. So I just want to remind everybody of that.
Yeah.
All right. Well, for me, that would make it even better to have it in the afternoon, to be honest with you. For the time being, can we have a vote on first Monday of the month at 5:30? Is that okay? I don't know if this is an action item or got Greg here.
This is just a general consensus availability. If this is the will of the group, then staff can help prepare the formal notices that have to be given to reset your regular meeting date. But you're just looking, Chair Brown, for a consensus of the group at this point.
That's correct. So I guess I'll just do an all in favor. Aye.
Yeah, we can. Yeah.
Okay.
Make it work. In person, 5:30 may be difficult for some. I mean, the reason we were on Mondays and Fridays, we started on Monday, actually. Mondays and Fridays were good because people travel in the middle of the week at the time. Things have changed a little, but Wally's still traveling, which is good. I think Mondays make sense. In person at 5:30 may be a little difficult, but let's put it out there. If we get on a calendar, you just, you know, commit. So
yeah, and why don't we, with the acknowledgement that it might be difficult, so like if someone says, hey, this is not working, please speak up. This is just throwing it out there. Okay, I want everyone to have say in this as well, of course. All right, that's all I had. So Monday 5:30. Confirmation of next meeting and discussion regarding meeting schedule. So that's what we had there. Executive session. I don't think we have anything to go into executive session with based on the fact we had most of our conversation.
I wouldn't mind going into executive session. I mean, it's not critical if it's.
No, Bob, that's right. I apologize. So John, you want to take us into executive session?
So if the board wants, or excuse me, if the commission wants to go into executive session, we need a motion that cites to one of the exceptions under the Open Meetings Act with roll call votes being taken to go in, and then we'll have to record the executive session and keep a separate set of minutes, which staff can certainly take care of.
Do we have to go into executive session?
And we need the reason.
For property acquisition.
A second. All right, he's probably opened it by now. The one question I had, and maybe here, I'll wait till he gets back.
Yeah, you're good. You could go ahead.
Okay. And Tim, maybe you can remember, you know, what, you know, I know, again, we have, you know, different parties helping us with some of this, but is there a reason that we're not reaching out, that we're trying to reach out to the developers firsthand through the village and not use some sort of.
There are obviously limited resources, so I think the village has used some of those professional relationships they have. I think initially the EDC was thought to have some of that expertise that might be able to lend it. It's not certainly on a professional, I mean, it's not on a formal level I don't know. I mean, it may be a good recommendation to say, now we need, hey, we've got some projects that are languishing. We're doing some things we're trying to do, but we really need the professional arm behind this to kind of help push some of these things in market and all of that. I think there's been sort of a reliance on, we had prior members, there were a number of folks in real estate, with Colette and with Nina and, and they were opining, but nobody, you're right, nobody's been actively
marketing items and, all these things that, I don't want to speak for Wally, but that's what his firm and others like it would do. And they would send it out to market with no developers. And they can also have those conversations, what would the interest be? There's a lot of things and they're getting paid for it on the back end. So maybe small question.
To be honest, Eric was doing that, right? And I think Lisa's doing that. And so it's a question,
yes.
That it's a good question to maybe pose back to the board to say, we think there's a need. How do we solve this need? And maybe it's a reallocation of resources, or maybe it's actually going out and getting another professional firm to do it. So
yeah, I think that's
a good question to pose. So
yeah, maybe there's a reason. And I agree that we do have people. There's one thing to be on a committee and, put opining at times. And then there's another to be getting paid for it, as your 9-to-5 and really putting together a real market, and, come to market sort of strategy. So.
Correct. I agree.
All right. So let's make that an item that if we could pass on to the board as a discussion item. Okay. I think that is it. Unless anyone has anything else. I'm excited for this group. I like all the discussion. I think we all are on, we have some different opinions, but I think we're all kind of on the state of mind that we need to be more proactive and handle some of these items. So that's great. That's exactly what I wanted. So that move to adjourn.
So moved.
Seconded.
Let me call the roll real quick. Chair Brown.
Present.
Close. Commissioner Graham.
Yes.
Commissioner Brangle.
Yes.
Preston. Thank you all so much.
Hey, thanks, John. Appreciate it. Thanks,
John, Tyler. Yeah, thanks, John.
Take care, guys. Thanks,
everybody.
Have a good weekend.
We'll see you.